love Jesus more than yourself. Want to become more like Jesus than anything else. Want to know him so intimately that his love, forgiveness, compassion, and peace breathe through everything that you say.
This is Mission 66, a TWR outreach in partnership with the ministry of Dr. Luis Seau. Today, we're on our journey through the book of Job. Instead of the story of an entire nation or royalty, we'll zoom in to the life of an ordinary God-following man. We'll be joining John Matthews and Esther Sisulu for this conversation. Grab your study guide at mission66.org, follow along, and see how God's Word speaks to your life today. Now here's Esther.
Our journey in the Bible continues as we take it chapter by chapter, seeing what gems of wisdom we can get from it. Today we're looking into the book of Job, and our teacher John Matthews will lead us through chapters 32 to 37 as one of the younger generation jumps into the discussion. And so we'll listen to the theme, The Know-It-All Speaks.
Esther, thank you so much, and a very warm welcome to Mission 66. It is so good to have your company today, wherever you join us from and whatever your situation is. Well, thank you for being with us as we reach Job chapter 32. And here we find a brash youth, and his name is Elihu. He's introduced, and here was somebody young who thought that he understood everything about this situation that he encountered. He thought he understood everything there was to know about Job and why he was suffering the way that he was. Now, if you've been following this incredible story, you'll be aware of the reasons behind Job's suffering. And those reasons were simply unknowable by anybody on earth, because this was a test that had been instigated behind the scenes of earth. Nevertheless, Elihu, this young know-it-all, I suppose you could call him, bursts onto the stage here, and the other three friends of Job stand back as this young intellectual unleashes his grand oratory. This is chapter 32, so let's read it from verse 1. So these three men ceased to answer Job because he was righteous in his own eyes. Then Elihu, the son of Barakel the Buzite, the family of Ram, burned with anger. And he burned with anger at Job because he'd justified himself rather than God. And he also burned with anger at Job's three friends because they had found no answer, although they had declared Job to be in the wrong. And so now Elihu, he'd waited to speak to Job because these other three were older than he. And when Elihu saw that there was no answer in the mouth of these three men, well, he burned with anger. And Elihu, the son of Barakel the Buzite, answered and said, I'm young in years, and you are aged. Therefore I was timid and afraid to declare my opinion to you. I said, let days speak and many years teach wisdom. But it is the spirit in man, the breath of the Almighty, that makes him understand. It is not the old who are wise, nor the aged who understand what is right. Therefore I say, listen to me. Let me declare my opinion. Behold, I waited for your words. I listened for your wise sayings while you searched out what to say. I gave you my attention. And behold, there was none among you who refuted Job or who answered his words. Beware lest you say, we have found wisdom. God may vanquish him, not a man. He has not directed his words against me, and I will not answer him with your speeches. They are dismayed. They answer no more. They have not a word to say. And shall I wait, because they do not speak, because they stand there and answer no more? Oh, I will also answer with my share. I also will declare my opinion, for I am full of words. The spirit within me constrains me. Behold, my belly is like wine that has no vent, like new wineskins ready to burst. I must speak, that I may find relief. I must open my lips and answer. I will not show partiality to any man or use flattery toward any person, for I do not know how to flatter, else my Maker would soon take me away. And so in chapter 23 he says, but now hear my speech, O Job, listen to all my words. Behold, I open my mouth, and the tongue in my mouth speaks. You say, I am pure without transgression. I am clean, and there is no iniquity in me. Behold, in this you are not right. I will answer you, for God is greater than man. Now, Elihu, in fairness, he goes on to show that he has good understanding of how God does speak to those willing to listen, and in some cases to those as well who are not willing to listen. But he falls short of shedding any light on Job's situation. But Elihu also does actually grasp the concept of how a sinner is made right before God when he repents. Let's read verse 14. For God speaks in one way, and in two, though man does not perceive it. In a dream, in a vision of the night, when deep sleep falls on men, while they slumber on their beds, then he opens the ears of men and terrifies them with warnings. Verse 22. His soul draws near the pit, and his life to those who bring death. If there be for him an angel, a mediator, one of the thousand to declare to man what is right for him, and he is merciful to him and says, deliver him from going down into the pit, I have found a ransom. Let his flesh become fresh with youth. Let him return to the days of his youthful vigor. Then man prays to God, and he accepts him. He sees his face with a shout of joy, and he restores to man his righteousness. He sings before men and says, I sinned and perverted what was right, and it was not repaid to me. He has redeemed my soul from going down into the pit, and my life shall look upon the light. Well, that describes not only the salvation experience when a sinner admits to God that he has sinned and receives Jesus as the one who pays the price for all the things that we've done wrong in our lives. Those things are collectively called by the Bible sin. And that price was paid by Jesus on the cross. And that hint of how God uses our dreams to remind us of our innate human fleshly weakness and how we can drift and wander from him and the need to stay close to him. And when the sinner, that's every one of us, comes and recognizes our state before God and asks him for forgiveness, then God accepts us. Our sins are forgiven and we walk in newness of life. But Elihu actually goes on in that vein for the next few chapters. Now, we're not going to read every single word, but we'll pick out some verses that give us an idea of what he's saying. Job 34 verse 1 says this, then Elihu answered and said, hear my words, you wise men, and give ear to me, you who know. For Job has said, I am in the right, and God has taken away my right. In spite of my right, I am counted a liar. My wound is incurable, though I am without transgression. What man is like Job, who drinks up scoffing like water, who travels in company with evildoers and walks with wicked men. For he has said, it profits a man nothing that he should take delight in God. Now this, clearly those words there are a real misrepresentation of what Job had been saying. Elihu is trying here to adjust Job's words, his theology, broadening his perspective on the mystery of God and God's justice. And there's real zeal about the way Elihu goes on in verse 10, because he says, therefore, hear me, you men of understanding. Far be it from God that he should do wickedness, and from the Almighty that he should do wrong. For according to the work of a man, he will repay him, and according to his ways, he will make it befall him. Of a truth, God will not do wickedly, and the Almighty will not pervert justice, for his eyes are on the ways of a man. He sees all his steps. There is no gloom or deep darkness where evildoers may hide themselves, for God has no need to consider a man further, that he should go before God in judgment. He shatters the mighty without investigation, and he sets others in their place. See, now many of the things that Elihu is saying are not specifically wrong. They're just not applicable in Job's case. He is saying things that Job already believes, and Job as yet can't get a word in. Job 35, verse 5, Elihu goes on saying, look at the heavens and see, and behold the clouds which are higher than you. If you have sinned, what do you accomplish against him? And if your transgressions are multiplied, what do you do to him? If you are righteous, what do you give to him? Or what does he receive from your hand? But none says, where is God my maker, who gives songs in the night, who teaches us more than the beasts of the earth, and makes us wiser than the birds of the heavens? There they cry out, but he does not answer, because of the pride of evil men. And he goes on and on. Chapter 36 and 37, for example, this is verse 2. Bear with me a little and I will show you, for I have yet something to say on God's behalf. I will get my knowledge from afar and ascribe righteousness to my Maker. For truly, my words are not false. One who is perfect in knowledge is with you. Behold, God is mighty, and he does not despise any. He is mighty in strength of understanding. He does not keep the wicked alive, but he gives the afflicted their right. He does not withdraw his eyes from the righteous, but with kings on the throne he sets them forever, and they are exalted. And if they are bound in chains and caught in the cords of affliction, then he declares to them their work and their transgressions, that they are behaving arrogantly. He opens their ears to instruction and commands that they return from iniquity. If they listen and serve him, will they complete their days in prosperity and their years in pleasantness. But if they do not listen, well, they perish by the sword and die without knowledge. Behold, God is great, and we know him not. The number of his years, well, it's unsearchable. He draws up the drops of water, and they distill his mist in rain, which the skies pour down and drop on mankind abundantly. Can anyone understand the spreading of the clouds, the thunderings of his pavilion? Behold, he scatters his lightning about him and covers the roots of the sea. And on he goes. Job 37, verse 2. Keep listening to the thunder of his voice and the rumbling that comes from his mouth. Under the whole heaven he lets it go, and his lightning to the corners of the earth. After it, His voice roars. He thunders with his majestic voice, and he does not restrain the lightnings when his voice is heard. God thunders wondrously with his voice. He does great things that we cannot comprehend. For to the snow, he says, fall on the earth. Likewise, to the downpour, his mighty downpour. He seals up the hand of every man, that all men whom he made may know it. Hear this, O Job. Stop and consider the wondrous works of God. Do you know how God lays his command upon them and causes the lightning of his cloud to shine? Do you know the balancing of the clouds, the wondrous works of him who is perfect in knowledge? You whose garments are hot when the earth is still because of the south wind, can you, like him, spread out the skies hard as a cast metal mirror? Teach us what we shall say to him. We cannot draw up our case because of darkness. Shall it be told him that I would speak? Did a man ever wish that he would be swallowed up? The Almighty, we cannot find him. He is great in power, justice, and abundant righteousness he will not violate. Therefore, men fear him, and he does not regard any who are wise in their own conceit. I remember Esther, good friend of mine, as a youngster attending a prayer meeting on a hot summer's night and listening to an overly long Bible study, and he falls fast asleep and falls off his chair. Do you know, I think my friend, probably me for that matter, may well have dozed off in the presence of the verbose Elihu. And so by now, probably everyone is looking at their watches, wondering whether this confident young man is ever going to bring his speech to a close. And then finally, he runs out of steam. But the question really is, what on earth has he accomplished? Because Job is still there, sick and discouraged. His three friends are, well, they've been numbed into silence. Sunrise, sunset, the earth continues to rotate on its axes, and we await to see what, if anything, will happen as a result of all that Elihu has just said, and some.
You are listening to Mission 66, there with our teacher, John Matthews. I'm Esther, and John, I do have a couple questions because, man, have we heard the opinions and the thoughts of Job's three friends, and now we see young Elihu. Okay, so where was he all this time? Because this is the first time that we see him, even hear him speak.
Yeah, well, what we read actually before he starts speaking, it indicates, Esther, that Elihu was actually there all along, silently listening. And he says he didn't venture to speak because the older men, out of respect for the older men who had dominated the conversation. So he goes, since no one has resolved the issue, since you experienced ones, the knowledgeable ones, the elders, who perhaps should have answered, haven't put Job in his place, let me try. And so, yeah, he comes in, doesn't he? A bit like a sandstorm off the desert, armed with this youthful confidence. And yeah, his speech has some similar aspects, actually, of God's answer to Job in chapter 38, with references to thunder and hail. And we can hear that. We'll hear that next time.
Well, speaking of which, you know, Elihu says that God speaks in different ways. In fact, in chapter 33, he says that God can speak through dreams and visions. Now, is this still a way in which God speaks to us and communicates with us in this day?
Well, look, the truth is God can communicate in any way that he pleases. He's not limited by anything or any time. Now, some who have followed other paths are surprised when Jesus appears to them in a dream and either tells them that they need to believe in him, or maybe they need to go to a certain church or to a person to hear the gospel explained. So no one, but no one is able to predict how God will act. And so we can't put God into any kind of box. And he does speak through any myriad of ways, and that includes dreams and visions.
Well, you did mention earlier, John, that Elihu is kind of expressing himself in this way, telling Job what he thinks, but isn't really accomplishing anything. So do you think that he, just like the other three friends, are kind of sidestepping Job's suffering and I don't know, kind of kicking him while he's down?
Yeah, we don't see, certainly not evidenced in what we've read here in Job, we don't see all that much pity or empathy, do we, for Job, who is in the midst of suffering and has suffered dreadful, dreadful tragedy. And so clearly, Job wasn't in need of a two-hour monologue from Elihu on things that he already knew.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, he definitely didn't need all of that. But you know what? As you said, Elihu, he's young and he's pretty zealous, right? And I think he wanted to help, even if I suppose his attempts did fall short. And, you know, considering his long speech and sermon, maybe we should just kind of segue into somebody who is a young person and is considering preparing for ministry, considering being a pastor. What advice would you offer to that person?
Yeah, it's a good question, isn't it? And I think, you know, there's something about the zeal and the energy of Elihu that is really endearing and actually is a real gift. And so it's really about channeling that, isn't it? And I think that's a beautiful thing for somebody to have, but there needs to come alongside that a real deep humility so that the person who has that energy and zeal is willing to learn and listen at the same time as try to express and use the gifts that they have. But look, you asked what's required. Well, look, I think that that's quite simple. Love Jesus more than yourself. Love the Bible more than any other knowledge. Want to become more like Jesus than anything else in life. Want to know him so intimately that his love, his forgiveness, his compassion, his peace exudes through everything that you say, every look that you give, every moment that you live. And the rest, Esther, well, the rest is just detail. You know, there's a lot that we could say, couldn't we, about gaining knowledge, about learning to communicate well, about understanding people from every walk of life, about putting in the work, about learning from others. And those things are all important. They're all valid. But we spend, I think, far too much time putting fallen man on pedestals and trying to learn from man and elevating our strategies and our approaches. What do we need? What does the world need? If we can't demonstrate to the world Jesus, then it's got no hope of learning anything from us. The world needs desperately people who love Jesus and know him so intimately that they carry his very presence into every interaction. Our world needs that so much more than anything else. We have plenty of leaders. Our world needs to see humble servants who mirror Jesus Christ and who want no recognition whatsoever, but all they want is to be more like him.
Oh, yes, we are getting back to the basics here, John. That was a good word. Thank you for that. Well, you know what? I think this concludes these few chapters. Let's go ahead and summarize these words of Elihu.
Yeah, so you've been listening to the lengthy speech of Elihu in Job, chapters 32 right through to 37, with the theme, the know-it-all speaks. Here is young Elihu, full of words, attempting to provide the final word on Job's suffering. And his speech is long on theological assumptions, But really, like the three friends of Job, it's short on compassion. I think there is a word of warning, and it's an important word. It's be cautious if you think you know everything, if you're quick to answer, if you claim to have all the solutions and often point fingers at others. I've been there myself, speaking before I think. The thing that draws people in to listen, as happened with Jesus himself, is that humility, that compassion, that sense that people, when you're speaking to them, know that you want the best for them. That's why people came to Jesus, because they felt safe. They felt understood, seen, loved.
Well, the Word of God, the Bible, certainly transforms our minds and it changes our hearts. And we hope that you've enjoyed today's episode as we continue our look through the book of Job. Join us next time as John Matthews shares more from this incredible book. So until next time, dear friend, from me, Esther, and our entire team, this is Mission 66.
As we close today's program, take a minute to download your free study guide. You'll be able to follow along every single day. Plus, you can engage with the reflection and application questions so you can apply the teaching to your life. It's a great companion resource to the audio Bible teaching of John Matthews and Esther Sisulu. To get your free study guide, visit mission66.org. That's mission66.org. You can also support the ministry of Mission 66 when you visit the site. Your gift makes it possible for this great teaching to be heard in many languages around the world. Mission 66 is a ministry of Transworld Radio in partnership with Dr. Luis Seau.